Hello, Pathway family. It's Harold. I wanted to say hello to everyone and see how everyone's doing, do a check-in. It's been a rough week for me. I'll be honest, we lost a couple of participants at Hotel Inc. on the same day. And then this past Friday, one of my best doctors died of the virus. So it's been a challenging time. Thankful that I have a recovery group to rely on. I have developed some techniques that keeps me from trying to think that there's a way to escape the pain and suffering when you have to walk through it. But anyway, grateful to be where I am today. Grateful that I get to be in a group that loves and supports each other and picks each other up when they're down and cheers each other on. And I think that's the beauty of what we have at Pathway. And I don't know where I'd be without it. I really don't. Grateful for everyone. Looking forward to seeing everyone soon. If we can't do hugs, we can at least do elbow bumps. But I hope everyone is doing well. I miss everyone, and I'll see you soon.
Couldn't take your eyes off it, could you? It was...
they can't you look away.
Free ride.
Yes, true.
This is what it feels like to lose control. This is what it feels like to be left alone. This is what it feels like to reach the end. This is what it feels like.
God came down and walked beside me.
it feels like to say goodbye. This is what it feels like for a man to collide. God came down and walked beside me. God came down, he sent his friends to guide me. God came down to remind me. This is what it feels like to be
speak in peace. So unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call.
Pathway, this is Wendell. You'll notice I'm by myself this time. I'm here at home in my living room. Lewis is in Nashville with his son, who is recovering from back surgery. So I'm doing this solo this week, and I think I'll probably be doing it again solo next week. So you know who I am. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to work and food and control. I've had issues with pornography, alcohol, and rage and panic attacks and depression. Hi, Wendell. Hi, everybody. I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight. I really miss Lewis. Our dialogues are good, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time tonight talking about what we have as our topic, but we're going to touch on it. Years ago, most of y'all know that I was married before. Had a wonderful wife. Her name was Carol. We had a little 18-month-old daughter, and Carol was diagnosed with cancer. It took 2 years after the diagnosis, and she passed. And then later on, Robbie and I married. But anyway, when I was married to Carol, we lived in Wilmore, Kentucky. And we were playing tennis at Asbury College, just recreational, hitting it back and forth. And two guys, athletic guys, showed up and challenged us to play doubles against them. So we got into it and got ahead and got significantly ahead of them. And I remember us bending over to get a ball or something. She whispered to me, she said, "Man, we can't lose this." And so after she made that statement, everything changed with both of us. We weren't having fun anymore. We weren't playing to win anymore. We were playing not to lose. And we lost. As soon as you have that attitude, any of us have that attitude about anything, playing not to lose, you're basically signing up to lose, because it's based in a fear of failure and not a love of the game. And you either play life with a love for the game of life, or you play it with a fear of failing at life. And it's two approaches, two outlooks. And hopefully in recovery, if we're exploring and pursuing a healthier, more wholesome way of living, then slowly the fear of failure fades and the love of life increases, and we start to live for the love of the game instead of playing not to lose. What we're talking about here is literally starting every day and saying, "God, help me not to mess this up. Just just help me not to mess this up. If we're really religious people, it's like, it's all about sin management. Help me not to sin. Help me not to do anything bad. Sometimes as parents, it's like, help me not to do anything to cause my children to hate me. If it's political, it's help me not to give even an inch to the other party. If it's business, it's like, help me not to lose this deal. It's so important to me. If we're an addict, it's like, help me not to use. Today, my whole focus is don't use. Don't use. Whether it's drugs, porn, alcohol, shopping, whatever. If we're struggling in some of our relationships, it's like, God, help me not to have that bad attitude toward so-and-so. So you get what I'm saying. Your whole approach to life is not failing, not doing something bad, not doing something objectionable, not doing something harmful. Where's the joy in that? Where's the contentment in that? It stifles your creativity, your spontaneity. It just kind of sucks the life right out of you to approach life that way. Life becomes a job, just a chore to try to drudge your way through. And so that's what we're talking about is in our recovery. I think we need to ask ourselves, it's not just, oh God, give me cotton candy and bluebird thoughts. You know, help me be happy even when things are sad. It goes deeper than that. It's how do I live above and beyond and past this fear of a failure? How do I do this? God, help me not to fear failure. Well, that's another not prayer. That's another negative approach to a negative approach. That's not going to do us any good. So I was dealing with this a couple of weeks ago. I had some attitudes, and I found myself saying the same old prayer that I'd said for years and years, decades. God, help me not to have that attitude toward that person or those people. And I realized how ludicrous that prayer was. How self-defeating it was right out of the starting blocks. And so I thought, okay, God, give me some creative thoughts here. Give me an alternative to this, because this is not working, and it just doesn't feel right in the midst of your recovery. It's just like everything else has this positive momentum except this. God, help me not to blue, whatever it is, fill in the blank. It just didn't feel right, didn't fit with the rest. So I thought about it for a while, and I thought, well, what's the answer to all the other issues that I have faced and been stifled with? What has been the answer? And inevitably, it's always been love, which everybody says, oh yeah, that's the easy go-to answer. But when I'm depressed, when I'm anxious, when I'm angry, when I'm, you know, you name it, to me, the answer for that is to take some time and realize all over again, fresh, realize that my Father loves me. And I don't mean just in an academic way. I don't mean like read it in a book. I mean let it come into here and realize, wow, He adores me. I'm totally messed up. I am being an ornery little child right here. But God adores me and He loves me. And He's right here with me. And He's going to be with me no matter what kind of fit I throw or what kind of attitude I have. He's going to be right here. Knowing that love, and not just knowing it, but realizing and experiencing it, inevitably begins to help that emotional, whatever emotion it is that goes rogue, whether it's rage, depression, fear, whatever it is, it begins to. So I thought, okay, well, I wonder if that applies here. What's the alternative to playing not to lose? What's the alternative? Well, it would be playing to win. So in our recovery community, And in my recovery experience, playing to win means to love the person in front of me. That's a winning day. That's a good day to receive God's love and then share that with the person in front of me, even in the most casual of encounters. It doesn't matter. Just share that love with the person in front of me. So it dawns on me that I get up in the morning, and instead of saying, God, help me not sin, look at porn, criticize my neighbor, whatever it might be, instead of doing that, my prayer would be, God, give me somebody to love on today. How about you send me somebody who I can love? How about you give me a vision, give me an idea of how I can better the place where I work, how I can add some sort of positivity or some sort of hope or some sort of vision for a better future where I work. How about I find somebody to listen to? See, these are positive. This is a positive approach. And so this is something I've been dealing with for 2 or 3 weeks now, of just exploring some of these positive approaches. Well, when you explore, the learning curve is steep, and you don't always get it just right. And you know what? That's okay. This doesn't have to be slick and pretty. This doesn't have to be polished. You don't have to make a production out of it. It's just simple acts of kindness, simple acts of listening, simple acts of patience with people. And in the end, at the end of the day, I think what matters is that we don't believe in so much in what we did or said, but we believe in the power of love that motivated it. We have a vision for what love can do. We don't have a vision for how well we can perform, but we have a vision for how powerful and magic love can be. And as I was thinking this through, I got to thinking about God's track record in Scripture. You start in a garden where he's making a nursery for his little kiddos, and you start with the walks in the garden that he had with them. He just totally had a vision for loving on humanity. And then when that went wrong, he decided to focus on Abraham and his offspring, and he decided to give his recently released slaves from Egypt guidelines on how to have a better life. He called out to them through the prophets in the Old Testament. And then he showed up in his son, and then he gave us the gift of his Spirit. I mean, all that he is, from Genesis to Revelation, God has a track record of and a vision of pursuing us with love. And God doesn't wake up and say, oh, I hope I don't mess up today. God wakes up and says, I believe in the power of my love, and that's what I'm going to pursue today. So he has this proactive vision for how he's dealt with humanity for thousands of years. Good idea. Sets the tone for those of us who follow him and those of us who know he's our dad, we're his kids. So maybe the alternative, I think my phone's falling down there. Maybe the alternative is to not try hard, not to be negative, but to press into the positive, knowing that the most positive of all positives is to love the person in front of you, which we say over and over, and you know what? We're never going to stop saying that. We love the person in front of us, and that is our vision for every day of life we live. So basically we have, we understand things when we use metaphors or pictures or analogies or things like that. So we live life one of two ways, and it's, the choice is ours. We live life focused back over our shoulder on the wolves of negativity or the wolves of failure that are threatening to nip at our heels. Oh, I can't sin. Oh, I can't mess up. Oh, I can't fail here. And we spend life looking this way, which you can already see the problems with that. We bump into things. We fall into holes. We take wrong turns. It's not, you don't have a vision when you're looking over your shoulder. Or the alternative to that is to look ahead and say, who is the next person coming down the road, coming down the path that I'm going to be able to love on? I'm going to be able to listen to. I'm going to be able to care about. So this is not deep. It's not profound. It's not complicated. It's not, you know, maybe he'll leave tonight and think I didn't really get my money's worth tonight. But I've found this to be changing me slowly. That instead of playing not to lose, start to play to win. And winning is loving the person in front of me. Hope this is helpful. We only got a few more of these virtuals left, and then we hopefully can get back together. Boy, I miss you all. Miss you bad. It's going to be so tempting to hug when we get back together, but don't know that we can do that. But it's just going to be good to hear your voice and see you up close and in person. So hopefully I won't mess up the Serenity Prayer. Lewis and I usually work together to get it right, but we'll see if we can't do it right. So let's just say the Serenity Prayer together, and then we'll close. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Keep coming back. God loves you, and I love you, and I will see you soon. Thanks for being with us. Bye.